Hello and welcome to Art Juice. This is honest, generous and humorous conversations that will feed your creative soul and get you thinking with me, Alice Sheridan.
Me, Louise Fletcher.
I just want to start today to say thank you for your responses for our requests for reviews. There have been lots of new ones popping up in Art Juice, in iTunes, which is always nice to read. We've got everything from the short and succinct can't get enough of Alice and Louise's thoughts on lives. Had to update to say that the latest podcast about overwhelm couldn't have arrived at a better time. I'm very grateful for the light at the end of a very crowded tunnel. Thank you for this podcast. It has so much invaluable advice. The idea that where I am right now is a place that either of you might have been to. This can seem inconceivable when it appears that everyone else sprang fully formed, knowing exactly what they were doing. We don't.
Yeah, we really don't. The common misperception, isn't it? That's the one I had when I was starting out looking at other people.
Yeah. And then somebody, thank you very much, did leave a review that said, this podcast is called Art Juice, but they don't often talk about art. Hooray! Spot on, which absolutely made me laugh. So thank you very much. I do enjoy reading them. It is a nice little boost.
I think we talk about art all the time. Having said that, today we're going to use art as a springboard to not talk about art again.
Yeah, we don't give people directions, though, do we? We don't say, oh, this is our watercolour technique.
No.
I was thinking, actually, I'm thinking about going away and packing up. You know, we could do one about kit that you take to go and draw outside, but then I looked at the weather forecast and it's going to rain every day again, so I'm not so sure I'll be doing that.
And my kit is like, it starts off good and everything's all packed neatly, and by the third time I've taken the bag out, I've lost things, it's all a mess. And I really admire those people when they do an Instagram reel and unwrap everything and it's all neat and they've got all that they need, because it's just never my experience.
Or like a custom made rucksack that's got pockets for
everything. Yeah, and they put things back in the right place.
So what have you been up to this week?
It's been a busy week, that won't surprise anyone. I feel like I'm chasing my tail, and I had some admin things come up that were unexpected, but I have had to been able to squeeze in some art time. And this is when you realize that an hour here and there can be good. And when you work from home, you're lucky enough that you can do that if you don't have to travel. So I've been able to take the hour here and there, and I'm so excited about what I'm doing. And it's just that lovely feeling that you don't want to stop. But that's nice. I think it's good to stop when you don't want to stop, because it leaves you more to do when you come back the next time. And now I'll be probably out of there for a few days because of other obligations, so it's there waiting for me. And I have my journal in the house, and I've started to actually print out things. If I really like something I'm doing, I'll print an image, stick it in my, I say journal, it's just a sketchbook, and then write about why I liked it or what I want to try next, just to keep it fresh in my mind and keep me involved in doing it, even though I can't be in there. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Kind of all sorts. But it's also been quite a satisfying week. It feels like I haven't really settled. Like I haven't had I'm focused on this. I have been hopping around like a little spring bird from thing to thing. I've done things in the house, which has been nice. I've kept up with the courses that I'm learning on. I've been exploring AI, which has just been fun. I mean, really fun.
Yeah.
I've got frames painted. I've primed some new panels. I've updated some it just feels like, I don't know.
Got a lot done.
I have quite got a lot done. Some of it never even made it onto a to-do list either. It just got done.
It's spring. Spring gives us all new energy.
It is. Yeah. So that's sort of how I feel at the moment. I feel like, oh, it's spring. Lovely. And certainly the other day when the weather was gorgeous, I thought, oh, fantastic. I've got all this burst of energy to do all of these things. Why are all of them or too many of them computer-based? Why didn't I get all the computer-based stuff done in the winter? So now I'm free. What are we going to talk about this week? We have got two things to talk about this week. One is Damien Hirst's new release. I don't know if any of you have seen that. Warning, if you go on the website, you'll be fed a million sponsored ads for it. But we might loop back to that. Just because the second thing that we just thought that we would talk about it briefly is a question that came in. I did a poll about podcast suggestions, and somebody suggested as a suggestion for us to discuss the idea of switching, never finishing things, but always thinking that you're progressing and how to dig yourself out. And I just thought we would talk about that, maybe not for a whole episode, but it was quite funny in view of my week.
Where you switch between things, but you did finish things.
I did finish things. Last night, I did finish something on my website that has been there since the last art fair in November on a separate page. I've had it on my list. Combine that page into available paintings. And we are now at the beginning of April. It's taken me 4 months to do it. Guess how long it took me?
10 minutes.
a little bit longer. I was going to say 20, and I was saying, being realistic, probably a little bit more like half an hour.
But not that long.
But really not that long. I can't tell you. I went to bed feeling so happy.
Yeah. There's a loop that is open in our brains, I think, when we haven't finished something. Yeah. And even if we're not thinking about it consciously, it's there. And when we close it, it's so satisfying. And that makes me wonder if this person, because I don't know who asked the question, so sorry for being rude about you, but if you can live with all those loops, and what does that feel like? Because that would drive me absolutely bonkers. Mm. And it also makes me wonder, why are you not finishing anything?
I so often don't finish things. I have a really bad habit of finishing things to 80 or 90%. And sometimes that means there are projects, paintings, blog posts, all sorts of things that I have put 80 to 90% of energy into. They are done. They are ready. And I either then... This is a perfectionist thing. I either then say they're not good enough, I've got to go back to them, and they never make it to the light of day, or I lose interest in them.
Right. I was going to say, what is the cause? Because I have things that I don't finish when I've lost interest.
Hmm.
And I think that's part of being a creative person. Sometimes we start things and then we just realize they peter out. So I had an idea a few months ago for a novel I was going to write. And I mapped it all out. I don't have any interest in doing it. I just like, yeah, I could have done the plan. I don't want to do it. Maybe I will one day, but I don't know. So in that sense, I think we all have unfinished things. But this person says, always not finishing things and always moving on.
Yeah, and it's the frustration of feeling like you're not progressing. And that's what drives me ultimately. It's when I reach that sort of peak point of like, oh, this is just, it's niggling to the point that it's uncomfortable. Just get on with it then.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes it's, all I'm saying is that for me, sometimes there is a wait, there is a gap. It's not a linear, here's a project, I'll start this, I'll work on it, I'll finish it.
Yeah.
It's... You know, I hop around between all sorts of things. And sometimes, at the moment, that feels flexible and fun and exciting. And I'm enjoying it. And I can think, what do I feel like? Like, nothing is imminently urgent. Actually, two of the things I did yesterday needed to be done. And as a result, crack on.
Yes.
Got them done. Not a problem. No time for procrastination. So I wonder if there's something here in if everything is too open, if you really don't have any deadlines or any reason or end date in mind, yeah, it's very easy to feel like it's in that loop. And if you're happy in that loop, then that's fine. But if it's starting to bother you, give yourself a reason, crack on.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it? We all have to do it for ourselves, ultimately.
I got the sense from that question that it was someone going, okay, I'm going to do a series of these kind of paintings, let's say, and then getting 80% of the way through and giving up and going to do a completely different thing, and then getting 80% and giving up. And that sounds like there's a fear there or something that's blocking just cracking on. Because, I feel like saying, come on, pull yourself together, just do it. not meaning to be rude, but what is the blockage? But there must be something.
I think whether that happens at the end of the creative work is finished and now you have to do the things that you maybe don't enjoy so much. I saw a post this morning from somebody saying they got support with for ADHD reasons with all sorts of things that they, so that they can stay working in their happy zone or something with things they're not very good at, like the social media scheduling, the accounting, the bookkeeping, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I fucking hate all of that stuff too. I'm not good at it. And I think that sometimes when we finish a creative series of work, we've been in our happy space with it. And then we have to do the, oh, I've got to measure, I've got to get frames, I've got to fit it, I'd rather be painting. I mean, there's a part of me that can shift gear into that space, but only through necessity, only because I've got no choice. Like, no one else is going to do it for me.
You bring up a good point.
We might get on to Damien Hirst in a minute, but
You bring up a good point because someone wrote to me after our last episode where I said about that pressure in my brain to finish things. And she wrote to me, do you think you might have ADHD, which I've mentioned sometimes thinking I might have. So I went on a website, we can do a quick test and it's like 1 to 10 or something. And I'm 1. So no, I don't. But one of the things that was clear in that test is that people who do have ADHD do have all these open loops.
Yeah.
And that is a thing.
Very hard.
And so it's worth knowing if that's you. It's not that there's anything wrong with you. There might just be something different in the way your brain is working. Mm. And finding that out might be really helpful because I know there are people, like you've talked to Anna McDonald on the podcast before, I'm not sure which episode, but about strategies she put into place to deal with that so that she can finish things and she can work productively. Because it's easy for us to say, well, you just crack on, but we don't have that issue. So yeah. I might feel all sorts of weird pressures, but I can make myself start something, finish it and concentrate all the way through. Some people simply cannot.
There's a podcast which I actually will recommend when we get to that stage, because it's somebody I know and it made me laugh, but about ADHD. And they were talking in that. And one of the things that they said, of course, is that a lot of the things are normal. It's just the level at which is not normal. So I think you're right. This is the question, isn't it? If you never get to finish and there is no reason behind it. But what all I'm saying is that one of the reasons behind it is a natural feeling that we have when we're moving from a state of something that we enjoy to something that we feel we're not so good at. We don't want to have to do it. Then I'm going to have to, like, what am I going to have to do then? Photograph them and edit the photos and put them on the website or am I going to have to acknowledge that I've done this work and, like, maybe other people won't be interested in it? And that's something that stops us saying, okay, they're finished and completing that part of the project. Or it could be somebody just saying, I never get a painting finished. I never get a painting finished. But I think it's the same thing. When you finish a painting, I've said this before, you're basically saying, this is the best I feel it can be at this moment in time.
Yeah. And there's a big fear of failure often in finishing. If I finish this and put it out there, whether I'm approaching galleries or applying for shows or putting it online, people might not like it. And then I might feel rejected. And it's easier to just start something else.
Maybe that's it on that. It's just how often are you stuck in this? How often are you stuck in this state? And can you propel yourself out of it when you need to? Or do you want to, maybe?
But speaking of things that people might not like,
there
that
we
brings
go.
us on to Damien Hirst. Because he's certainly not embarrassed about putting things out that people might not like.
Had you seen this before we explain?
No, I had not. I had not had any of the ads somehow that had all passed me by.
Right. I'm wondering. So it comes out, they finish on the 10th of April.
Drat people, you might not be able to buy one.
You might have missed it. Or we need to just let people know now as we finish recording, go and have a look because we're going to talk about it on the podcast next week.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. I saw this on the 1st of April. I can't remember if I put it on my personal feed or on my art Facebook page, but I copied it onto there and said, wow, there's an awful lot of work that has gone into this April Fool's joke. Because it's a very well put together website about these spin paintings that are created for you, but then printed digitally or something.
Well, you create your own.
But what you create, okay, you create your own by choosing colors or something. And then is it spinned and scanned for you? And then you can buy a digital print of it for £6,000 or something.
Yeah.
And I just.
He's using machine learning algorithms. So he's blending AI with physical technology to create these paintings. So you basically paint them yourself. You go into the machine, you tell it what to do.
Yeah.
It creates the painting. It gets produced onto a round canvas. And it's, they're hideous in my opinion. And then he said, in his little video talk, he said, and the best thing is the painting continues around the edges. And I was like, oh, it's even worse. It keeps going. But you produce this little painting and then he hand signs it. And so in other words, you do all the work, you design the painting, he signs it, and you receive it. And you can have it as an NFT or a physical item. So if it's physical, he signs it. If it's NFT, whatever happens with them. And
I'm impressed you even watched the video.
I watched part of it, and then after a while, I was like, you are so, I'm sorry, up your own ass. But that was my first reaction. I thought, God, he's so up his own ass.
Can you see why I thought it was an April Fool's joke, though?
Yes. I thought, because the paintings, hopefully the website's still there when you hear this, even if you can't actually buy them, hopefully you can still see what it was. Because he used to do these things, spin paintings. It's basically fluid paint pouring, like you see people do on YouTube. That's basically what it is. And he spins it round and he makes a painting out of it. That was in the past. And now he's come up with this way of technology doing it. So my first thought was, ugh, they look awful. I wouldn't give you like 2p for one. And I don't understand it. And then when I read it and watched part of the video, my second thought was, this guy is a fucking genius.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just is so clever.
There were a couple of, when I first saw it and I thought, okay, this is quite complex. This is built out. And then I did also go through the website and think there are some ideas here, though, that are admirable in their ambition, which, as we know, is not something that he has a problem with. Where can we learn from this?
Yeah.
But the comments since then, I've been getting all the sponsored posts. And the comments on the sponsored posts are quite funny. Is it fair to say that it hasn't really gone down very well? I wonder how many people have bought things. But yeah, somebody here has said, you have to admit, Hirst is a brilliant marketer.
Mm. Not somebody just a brilliant marketer,
just
brilliant.
The Emperor's New Clothes.
But it doesn't matter if the Emperor's got clothes on if people buy it in his world.
Why is he doing it? Because he...
doesn't need the money, does he?
Right.
Maybe. See, this
it's
is
not
where
a creative challenge, is it? It's not a creative challenge for him.
Well,
is it just part that it's the conceptual putting together of something?
I think it's a creative challenge technologically, maybe. And
right.
The part of me is thinking, okay, this is a bit, is he trying to be David Hockney in the sense that Hockney's always gone with technology, not to this extent, but used it within his art and pushed his art forward with photography and then with iPads and all of that. Is he thinking, I want to be that person that's always on the leading edge, and how can I use AI to generate art? And he is taking one of his own things, which were spin paintings, and then using digital and technology to create it. So maybe to him, the idea, the challenge and interest in it was partly the creation of how that's going to work, because that's not just putting it into AI. You've also got to have machines that work with it.
Yeah.
But also, I do think he's a born entrepreneur, Damien Hirst, as much as an artist. Entrepreneurs need to make money. Like, that is not for the money, but for the thrill of starting something new, launching it, doing something different, launching it. And I always think he's an entrepreneur. So I would say he's more than a marketer. He's a genius business person. Because as I was reading it, I was just thinking, God, you know, we've looked at AI. I was getting it to write my web page. He was getting it to set up an entire, now whether it's successful or not, it's just it's like you said, it's the ambition. And it's the, I feel like Damien Hirst shows artists what's possible.
Yes.
A lot of the time.
Yeah.
He shows us that, look, he's a guy from Yorkshire. He hasn't even got a posh accent. He hasn't got a public school education. He hasn't got any of the things that you should have. And yet, when even as a young kid, he was like, right, I'm here. I'm going to be the biggest artist in the world. And everyone just went, oh, okay, right. And he did some really brilliant things, but he's also done some awful things, in my opinion, I should quickly add. But I think he shows us that, not that you can, some people would say he shows you that you can get away with anything, but he shows you that it's what you believe that matters and just go do it.
It's much easier to take, I mean, to take risks, though, from his position, isn't it?
No, but when he got a pickled shark, he paid for that shark to be caught.
Yeah.
And he didn't have any money. Didn't he get investors for that? He got people to pay for that when he didn't have anything. And who was, I'm going to put a shark in a tank. Can you get me one? Oh, sure. We'll just go sort that out for you. I mean, yes, it's easy now. And it's easy not to care about being laughed at now, because he can just sit in his castle wherever he lives and laugh at everyone else. But I don't know. I'm not saying this is a good thing at all. I'm just saying I admire. Yeah, I feel like the business thing is the art piece almost.
I think everything from even just calling the series The Beautiful Paintings.
Yeah.
I mean,
maybe it is an April Fool's joke.
It's not an April Fool's. Mind you, I don't know anybody who's actually tried to buy one. This is the thing. But I mean, I agree with you. I do think it's interesting. I do think it's challenging. I think, you know, from the point of view of presenting something that is new and different, the way the whole project was put together, as you say, there is a video, he talks about it, it's explained. Whether you like it or not, there is a genius in it. I mean, talk about neurodiversity or doing something differently. That's the point, isn't it? Is that how often are we trying to make ourselves fit into some blooming preconceived box of what people expect of us, whereas actually what he does is go, stuff it, I'm going to do this, and I don't really care what anybody else, and I am wholeheartedly going to do it. I'm really going to do it. Now, yeah. I suspect he also has loads of projects that never see the light of day, that never finish, that he gets bored of.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, obviously, don't know him.
There was a post on Instagram the other day, and I don't know who the artist was, and I wouldn't name them if I did because it wouldn't be fair, but it was a realistic painter of idealized young female figures.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to describe it. And she posted a picture of a film of, I don't know if it was her daughter or someone else's kid, standing on a chair, splashing paint in a circle. And she put, "I'm so sick of working so hard when abstract painters seem to be able to just fling paint around and sell their work." And, you know, one of those posts. And it really annoyed me because it was so condescending when I looked at that person's work and thought, no, not for me. But it wouldn't occur to me to go make a post saying anything so insulting about that style of artwork and so ignorant. And so when I saw that thing that you sent me and I had that initial reaction, then I felt like, oh, stop it, because I don't want to react like that to anyone's artwork, even Damien Hirst, who's rich enough not to care what anyone thinks. But on the other hand, there are times when you do have that reaction to all sorts of different type of art, which is like, oh, come on, you can't say that's art. But we've already broken those boundaries, haven't we, where we can say everything's art.
Yeah. And I think the points where you're triggered about something, whether that is me saying I thought this was a joke, which is just my honest reaction, and you saying, I'm not even sure we want to talk about this in this way, because like we don't know enough about it. We can't write it off. But the point is, there is something here to be of interest.
Yes. I don't like those paintings. I can say that wholeheartedly. I don't like them visually or aesthetically.
They don't move you.
Not at all. But I do love his balls, his creativity, his idea of using AI in such a different way. I think it's also kind of a statement about AI and art. We're all discussing, people are discussing, will we need artists in the future or will AI just generate things? And there's all those articles. And he's saying maybe the artist is the person who controls the AI
right,
to do whatever you want it to do.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting thought too for us all to think about. Like, where could I maybe, as it advances, where might AI play a part in my work? We went through the phase of people saying paintings are over. In fact, people still say paintings are over. Mm-hmm. And will we get to a point where physical paintings really are just an anomaly? And why would you bother when you can use your brain to create this other thing? So,
I mean, I went to the theatre last night and I was thinking about this and the AI thing. You know, this was a new adaptation of a 1970s play that had been contemporized. The set design was clever. The script writing was sharp as anything. And yet, when cinema came out, people probably went, the idea that real people are still going to get up on a stage day after day and literally sweat their heart out in order to make you laugh. Why would anybody still do that? And yet there wasn't a single spare seat left in the entire house. Every single seat was sold out. There's space for, like, there's both. It doesn't stop me going to the cinema or watching a video at home or going to the theatre. So I think there is some nerve. I get the nervousness around it 100%. There are lots of things to be nervous about. I also think it's important, and that's why it is interesting to see what he's doing with it. No, it's not my cup of tea. But I think it can lead to a stage, to something where there are certain tasks or things that we use AI for, and that leaves us free to do more creative things. And the scary part of that is the responsibility then on us is to do those things better and in a way that stands out and stands above. And that's hard. It's hard to do, you know, so much of stuff is sort of recycled and regurgitated a bit, and you know, we do it too. There's nothing radically revolutionary in my painting. I mean, and yet each one is still also unique.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not revolutionary.
No, we're not going to. I said that to someone the other day. I'm never going to revolutionize the art world. But that doesn't mean that we can't be innovative in our own way and do a unique human expression, which is the thing an AI bot cannot do.
Yeah.
It can do a unique AI expression maybe one day, but that won't be a unique human expression.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I find it. It's so interesting because when you first sent it to me, what I thought we were going to be doing was chortle, chortle, ha ha, look at this nonsense. Is it a joke? And what it's actually turned out to be for me is quite thought-provoking, which is probably maybe what he was thinking about. But I do think there is part of Damien Hirst, which is just an entrepreneur. Like, when you watch Gary Vaynerchuk, he has his big business where he makes all his money. He spends his Saturdays going to flea markets, picking up soft toys and selling them on eBay, getting them for a dollar and selling them $15. He doesn't need to do that. He does it because he's a natural entrepreneur in every situation. He gets pleasure from doing that. And I always feel a bit like that about Damien Hirst. And this was like the prime example of it.
You see, what I'm interested in is how fun was this project for him? Like, was he like a little boy? Mm. Why do you have to be a little boy? Why can you not be a fully grown
was
adult
he fully
or a
grown
woman?
Yeah.
Like, why is it always the kids have the fun, right? Okay, let's rephrase that. Was he just super excited about it? So everything from the titles, the color names, the expressive color names that collectors can choose from in the Beautiful Paintings generator were created using machine learning models. A GPT model is fine-tuned using over 30,000 names in two color spaces. How much did he get his hands dirty?
Hmm.
That's kind of what I want to know. I want to know that the structure of this project. I want to know who worked on it with him. How involved
was he? You have to watch the video, Alice.
Was he really sort of, okay, fine. Does the video answer all my questions? That's where my attention went.
I must admit I zoned out after a few. It was a long video. It seemed to be going on a long time. So I stopped watching, but he was explaining quite a lot of his project in it. But I know what you mean. Was this... I get this. I mean, why would you bother if it wasn't?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to, does he? Why would he bother? Maybe it was fun to meet with all those techie people and say, I want to do this. And then they told him how it could be done. And I don't know.
I had fun. My AI experiment, and I am going to be doing more of it. But my experiment just with the free version of it was I uploaded... did I tell you this? I uploaded, there's a copywriter who's coming into the membership who writes copy in a very different way than I do. So I submitted his copy to AI.
No, you didn't tell us this.
Describe his writing style. So I got a description. And then I put my email copy in and said, and describe this writing style. And they came out very different. Like his came out, you know, sarcastic, concise. Mine was poetic, inspired, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then I said, right, now rewrite mine in that style. and it was quite fun. And it put a whole load of silly things in that I would never say. And I was like, okay, no, now do it with much shorter sentences. And it did it again. And I thought, this doesn't feel like me. This very much feels like somebody else, but it doesn't feel like me. And then I said, now combine them. And by the time I got the third one, I thought, actually, there are definitely things in here that I would change that is not my words. That if I sent that out, that would feel wrong. And there are parts of it that I would need to rewrite. But that is actually a sharper version of my natural writing. So I was doing it from the point of view of almost using it as a learning tool for how can I learn to write better copy from a copywriter who is at the top of his game and writes great copy for people in a very different style from something that comes naturally to me, much as in the same way you might say, okay, here is a painting and I feel that I have X missing from my painting. Who am I going to look at? How am I going to learn? I don't think it's going to be doing the work for us, but I think it will be quite useful as a learning thing. That's what I'm interested in at the moment.
Yeah. I used it the other day to ask it. I tried asking it. I was trying to think of YouTube videos for the future. And so I asked it, what would be 10 good YouTube videos on the subject of abstract painting, bearing in mind the search results. And it came back with a list of things which, based on my research into what I should be doing, were the right areas to be looking at. And they were quite boring. But I know if I kept going and saying, okay, can you make them a bit more interesting? Can you make them a bit more fun? What if we were to, you know, with my other experience with it, you can always keep going until you get to something, as you said, that's closer. But it certainly gave me a few ideas out of the list of 10 that I hadn't thought of. Thought, oh yeah, I could do that one at some point in the future. And it's just like having loads and loads of people to ask questions of.
Yeah, I think you have to bear in mind that it's pulling information from, firstly, quite recent data.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it goes back before 2021.
One of them doesn't go after 2021. I think that's...
Or is it after?
Yeah. So it doesn't have the very most up-to-date.
Okay. And also, for things like that, of course, it's ranking... For that kind of thing, it's ranking what already exists out there. So that's not coming up for something.
No, but that's what you want for search engine stuff. So I said, tell me.
Yeah,
I said, tell me, keeping in mind search engine. And so it gave me some things that we'd already found, but it gave me some other ideas where I thought, oh, yeah, I never thought of making a video about that. That might be all right. And so that's handy. And I'm interested in looking at it as... the first draft of ideas about things. So if I just want to write about something, go and tell me everything you know about this, you know, give me a suggested blog post about this. And then I'm never going to reprint that as a blog post, but it does often come up with ideas and thoughts that I wouldn't have come up with. So I can see a lot of use for it. My problem is just having the time to look into it. It's just too time consuming.
Yeah.
It's another thing.
It's as good as the questions that you ask, isn't it? Like lots of things, actually.
And it told me a few times, I'm just an AI bot and I do not know the answer to that, because I started asking it all sorts of things.
It is quite fun to have a play with. The thing that I've taken away from it so far is this idea of often we're not very precise. We ask in very general terms and then we get something that we don't want or that isn't good enough or that feels boring. It's about asking better questions.
Yes.
That in itself.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. Right. There we go. Sorted that. Procrastination.
Seeing things from a different perspective. I think the first one was seeing her predicament from a different perspective. What's going on behind it? And the Damien Hirst thing is, let's not always just jump to the most obvious. Sometimes the most obvious conclusion is the conclusion you eventually come to, but there might be more to it.
But it's just that going back to it again, isn't it? With, you know, how else can you look at it differently or learn from it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so have you got a recommendation for us or something? What's inspired you this week?
Oh, I'm so excited to tell everyone about my new favourite TV show, which half the people listening will say, oh, I watched that years ago, because I haven't even caught up with the current season. I am watching Ted Lasso on Apple TV, which I avoided because I thought it was a sports thing. It's about football. It sounded cheesy. It's about an American football manager coming to manage an English soccer team, as they call football, what we call football, they call it soccer. And he knows nothing about soccer. And I thought, oh, this is going to be really goofy and silly. And the American's going to be stupid and everyone's going to laugh at him. Either
so not
way,
prejudging at all then?
Not prejudging.
No,
but
not
speaking of looking at things differently, eventually I'd run out of things and I started to watch it. And oh, what a beautiful TV show it is. Now I see why everyone talks about it. And it has actually the only TV show I can think of where I feel inspired to be a better person.
Oh,
because of the character. The football manager is such a beautiful person and you just want to learn how to be more like him. He's completely without ego. He's completely unselfish. He's not perfect and nobody in this is perfect. That's the other thing. It's a very happy show, funny, but with lots of cynicism and swearing and sarcasm, but they kind of exist in they exist in an alternate world that could never exist, that could never happen, but you accept it because the whole world is coherent and everything in it is coherent. It's genius, and I'm only halfway through season two, and it's on to season three now, which I believe is the end. I think it's a three-story planned-out arc. It's the most brilliant thing ever, and in the UK, if you have Sky TV, you get 6 months free Apple TV, which I discovered for my mum and got her signed up for. So that's unfortunately only in the UK, but it's only £7 a month anyway. It's
there's
like
so many, though. This is the thing.
I know.
There's
well,
so
I don't have
TV
many.
Things.
I'm getting rid of Netflix because I never watch anything on Netflix. I got rid of Now TV. I have Disney Plus because I watched a few things on there. But Apple TV, it has Shrinking, which is amazing, Bad Sisters, which is brilliant, and apparently Severance is very good, but I haven't started that yet. But I am keeping Apple TV now because I want to be able to go back and rewatch
and
Ted
have Sky.
Time. No, I don't have any. I don't have any real TV. I watch everything on my laptop. I don't ever turn my TV on except when friends come, and then I have to try and work out how to get my free view onto the TV if they want to watch something. So no, I don't have any of that. I just watch. I don't watch that much. See, I always recommend TV shows. I actually don't watch that much, but just beautiful and so funny. And if you have watched it, I want to marry Roy Kent, please. So tell us about yours.
So mine is very different. It's called The Spin Off, and you need to search for it with a hyphen in, Spin hyphen off. And it is a spin-off show with Fleur Emery and the other lady is called Buckus. I don't know what her full name is, but they had a podcast that had sponsorship and was doing very well and was sort of business related. And they basically thought, let's do a podcast about having ADHD. And there's only six episodes at the moment. So if you're interested, if you think that might be you, but actually it's just, it's not a learning from podcast. You will either listen to it and think it's even nuttier, crazier, less scripted nonsense than we talk, and you'll turn it off pretty quickly. But actually, I find it quite, you just need to go with the flow a bit, and I'm quite enjoying it. And just seeing the way, I think there's an appreciation that comes from seeing the way and understanding the way that different people's minds work in this thing.
Mm-hmm. Which goes back to what we were saying about the artists who were struggling to finish things.
Yeah. And whether it's other people that you work with or other people in your family or friends, or whether it's you, or whether there's even a label on it at all. I don't even really care if there's a label on it at all, although I appreciate that there are times where that is helpful. For me, it's just another part of this look at how amazing our brains are. They function in so many different ways and somehow manage to get us through life. I think it's pretty cool. So yeah, very different, not art related at all, the spin-off.
Well, apparently we don't talk about art ever, so that's perfect.
Yeah, I know.
I recommended football and you recommended an ADHD podcast.
Perfect. Well, next week we have, I have a guest interview for you. So tune in for that. And I'm actually ahead. It's done and edited before we've even done this one. So
Alice,
we even know what's coming next week.
Before we started, Alice asked me, have you listened yet? And I said, to what? And she said, my interview podcast. And I thought, what? That's not even due till next week. And she's done it.
There we go. That's my closed loop.
Excellent.
All right. We'll see you next time then. Bye.
Bye. Okay, good. That was good.
All right.
Have you got anything nice planned for today? Oh yeah, you're going away, aren't you? To Devon.
Yeah, and it is just gonna, I thought when the weather was nice yesterday, I thought, oh, we might have a really nice week of lovely spring sunshine, and I've just looked at the weather forecast and it's just,
it might be wrong.
Daffodils, grass needs cutting.
We've just got lambs.
All of this stuff is,
because we get our lambs quite late because we're so high up. So we've just got lambs the last few days, and you're just driving along and all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, look. And they're so cute. And they just bounce, bounce, bounce. And then I go out for lunch with my mum and she says, oh, I'll have the lamb, please. And I'm like, how could you?
Leaving a long gap so that you can edit easy.